This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Do you remember when it first started, September?
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Martin will join us at 11. We're now joined by the president of the Cardinals, John Mozeliak. John, good to be with you. How are you?
Good morning, Frank. I'm well. Thank you.
So much to discuss. When you look at your ball club in the standings, 41-41, 3.5 games out of first place, a 13-13 month. How do you wake up this morning thinking about your club?
Well, I think the last couple of months have been a bit frustrating. I think everybody, as we looked at putting this club together, we really felt like from an offensive standpoint, we would be just more consistent. And I think that's been probably the biggest struggle for us. There's no doubt there's been times where the rotation has not performed to expectations. But I really feel like when you're playing baseball games and you're finding yourself down 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, it's just you're always sort of coming from behind, and that's sort of a tough thing. I would say it was a positive note on Sunday to be behind and actually come back and win that game, which was something that historically in the last couple of months we just haven't been able to do.
You've told me in your office that you are not an executive who helps to make out the lineup. But with that said, with an opening right now in left field because of the injury to Marcell Ozuna, would it be a good idea to just find out once and for all, can Tyler O'Neill play in the major leagues and play him like every day for 3 weeks?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea. Clearly, when he went down to Memphis, he got off to a great start. Then he really struggled, but he did find his swing in the last 10 days or so down at Memphis, so that was a positive thing to see. And now give him the opportunity to play and just see what we really have.
Let's go to center field. I know there's a lot of tools in the making of a baseball player, and Harrison Bader has a lot of those tools. But if he's a 206 hitter, can he be an everyday player in the big leagues?
No, I think the approach at the plate has to change, has to know how to get on base. Clearly, when you look at offensive positions, if you will, center field's become that. And so, even though he's so good defensively, you're still going to have to find ways to improve that offense. And he knows that. And so, he's working diligently with Jeff Albert, and hopefully this year you'll see some positive steps. But I do think this is more of a long-term project for us to see if we can make this happen.
Again, I know you're not a lineup executive, but in right field, does it make more sense to at least start every game or most games, giving Jose Martinez a chance to have 3 at-bats? Or do you like this platoon that's going on right now? How do you see that?
I think no one's really taken it and just run with it. And I think that's sort of the frustration. I know everybody wants to see Jose get those at-bats, but, even he's struggled offensively this year. And so, I think Shilty and the crew is just trying to find, someone to get hot. And as of, what are we at, June 2nd now? We just haven't done that.
How do you evaluate Dexter Fowler? Is he who we're seeing right now, or do you think there's more there at this stage of his career?
Well, I still think there's something in there. I think Dex, too, is trying to get in that groove. But, when you're looking at where he is today versus where he was a year ago, I mean, we certainly feel like we've taken positive steps. But, I think when you sort of drill down on each individual, clearly we're not having the type of offensive year that we want to see in an aggregate sense.
Let's talk about third base. And you extended Matt Carpenter, and he's coming off a 36 home run season. But what's gone on? What are you seeing with Matt Carpenter at this stage of his career, and how disappointed are you?
Well, I feel like right now he finds himself in between, trying to beat the shift or does he go back to just looking for that power swing? And I think at some point he's got to make that decision himself. We can talk to him all day, but still think he's a very good baseball player that just right now is struggling and he's having a hard time getting himself going.
And on the other corner, you have Paul Goldschmidt, who obviously he has better numbers in him. What are you seeing with Goldschmidt this season?
you know, the one thing that stands out to me with him is I feel like he's 0-2 every count. It just seems like he's always in a defensive swing mode. And I think that's just – he needs to just go back and really sort of trust himself and be more aggressive at the plate and, you know, take our chances that way.
I had a baseball executive tell me the other day that he doesn't think Goldschmidt is in this terrible decline, but he does think he's having trouble catching up with the fastball.
You know, I don't think that's something that stands out to me. You know, we looked at sort of guys' ability to hit fastballs, and you know, he's still in the very norm range. I think it's more, again, sort of count-driven for me, but, you know, certainly everybody's looking at everything to try to get people going.
What about second base? Colton Wong, evaluate his season so far.
Well, I think from just an overall standpoint, he's had a nice year. But, you know, when you're having a team that's struggling offensively, you're really looking for people to step up. You know, really our two guys that have hit and hit consistently has been Paulie and Ozuna. And now Ozuna's out, so we need somebody to step up.
Let's go to the pitching. There have been some pluses. Throw out the last start by Dakota Hudson, but he's everything you hoped for and expected, correct?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, certainly I would say the last 2 months he's pitched well. You know, clearly the other day was something that you actually saw more in April where, you know, hit batsman, then a walk, and then the inning just imploded. And, you know, could have gotten out of it, but, you know, made his own throwing mistake, so that comes back and haunts you.
How about Miles Michaelis? You know, coming off this magnificent season, and I don't think anybody second-guessed the move to try to extend him because he was coming off a great year. What is he doing differently this season than last year?
Well, I think the biggest thing for him is last year he was just a strike thrower. He was always in the zone. I think this year you're seeing two things. You're seeing an increase in walks, not ridiculous, but you are seeing higher walks, but I think you're just seeing more pitches. You know, not having the ability to get that 0-2 or 1-2 out where it's very efficient. And I think that's something that's really affecting him.
Jack Flaherty has had some real impressive outings, but he just, in the end, finds a way to give up that big home run. I know that many of us thought that Jack Flaherty was going to be the ace this season, and he's still very young and still very talented. But what does he have to do?
Well, I think, to your point, he's got to understand how to keep the ball in the ballpark. And so, you know, trying to work at understanding how to get those efficient outs, I think, is most important for him.
You've given the closer spot to Carlos Martinez. And you know, it's a plus that an organization can lose 104 miles an hour and replace it with 98, 99. It seems like Carlos has made some strides in his career and mentally will be able to handle this role. Where do you see Carlos at this stage?
You know, he was someone that, had the injury not happened to Hicks, we were going to try to sneak him back in the rotation at some point. But, you know, I think the good news is he's open-minded to do whatever is needed. But I do think at some point he wants to get back in that rotation. So when you see his usage for the rest of the year, you may see some two-inning-plus type saves. But, you know, ultimately we got to figure out a way to increase his workload so next year it's not going to be problematic for him.
There was a stretch where I think many people wanted to turn the page on Michael Wacha, and he's come back and had some very good outings. What about Wacha now and moving forward? He's a free agent at the end of this season.
Well, we'll worry about the offseason and the offseason, but I think for now, you know, we need him to pitch for us. You know, clearly our depth is being tested. There's no doubt when you saw somebody like Ponce de Leon get the opportunity, he took advantage of it. A guy going into spring training was Austin Gomber, thought he was someone that might even make our club, might make our rotation, you know, but unfortunately he's been slowed by shoulder soreness, so it's not someone you can count on right now. Probably the one name at AAA that has been throwing the ball relatively well recently is Jake Woodford, but I'd hate to just throw him into something if we can find a way to really sort of piecemeal our rotation together.
I think you've told me in the past that when you make a trade, that you don't want it to be a bad trade for the other team. You'd prefer if you win the trade, but you don't want it to be a bad one for the other team. So with that said, When you look at the success of a guy like Tommy Pham, how do you look back on that?
Well, not overly shocked. You know, he performed well for us at times. You know, he's someone that really just wanted to get a chance, and I think for us it was always like trying to find those at bats, and when they weren't consistent, I just think there was, you know, sometimes level of frustration on all sides. So, you know, clearly that deal is not one that we're going to look back at and say we would do again, but you know, sometimes you do make mistakes, and that's one that you know, clearly at the time we felt like it was worth clearing the space and giving some players some opportunity, but you know, he's playing at a high level.
And granted, he was inconsistent offensively at the time that you made the move. However, if Tommy Pham were kind of a yes sir and not say anything to national magazines or to radio or to local television, if he would have not had any of those extracurricular things going on, would he have been traded?
I don't think that necessarily was what played into it. I think what you said to begin with, just the inconsistency was. And we had players that, you know, we felt like if we gave them opportunities, they would run with it, Harrison Bader being an example. And so, you know, ultimately – those are the decisions we made, and, you know, clearly he's making the most of his opportunity now. But, you know, when people ask about Tommy Pham, I mean, we did stand by him for a long time. I mean, he spent many, many years at the minor leagues, us trying to rehab him and get him back. So, you know, I still feel like in the end that's not going to read well, but it was an organizational decision to try to keep him around for a long time.
How about Luke Voit? Are you stunned by his success, and what do you think when you see these eye-popping offensive stats in that Yankee lineup?
Well, I think the ballpark's ideal for him, but clearly he's, you know, having a great year. When we did that deal, too, it was something of at the time we had Matt Carpenter. We felt like and he was putting up 30-some home runs, so we just didn't feel like we really had a spot for Voit.
Go ahead.
You know, we did end up getting two relievers, and I definitely think Gallegos has been valuable to our club, so I don't look at that as quite the slaughter maybe some other people do.
What did you think of Mike Schilt coming out in the media last week? Kind of I wouldn't say it's a tirade. Nothing he ever does is a tirade. He did it in a low-key fashion. But just kind of coming out and defending the club and some of his thoughts. What did you think of that?
Well, I think we all want to know what people are thinking and how they're thinking and why. And so, you know, if we're going to condemn him for having the ability to speak his mind or give thoughts on what he thinks is going on, then I think we're not going to be in a great situation to really have openness. And for him to be able to share what he feels is going on with the club and some of the positives, I think is fine.
Again, you never want to make out the lineup, but can you give our listening audience an idea on how much input you do have and how often you and Mike get into the distribution of playing time with this roster?
You know, we talk quite a bit. I mean, I'd say almost on a daily basis on what's going on. But, you know, ultimately you got to let employees or someone like a manager have autonomy to do their job. And, you know, sitting up here micromanaging and not knowing exactly what he knows or have the same feel for what he sees just isn't fair. And so that's always been my strategy and how we go about it. And, you know, that's how I do this job.
Another kind of general thought. How do you see, like, moving forward? Like, you could be optimistic here and say, wait a minute. You're only 3.5 games out of first place. You had a rough, I think it's 21-31 since May 1st, which is the worst record in the National League. And think, heck, we're only 3.5 games out of first place. But, you know, I realize All-Star game announcements and selections are somewhat political. But I look at other teams like Milwaukee, and I see stars. I look at Chicago, and I see stars. You don't see stars right now with this 2019 team. Now, some of them have great resumes, like Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter, but the absence of stardom is kind of an issue here.
Well, would you look at our club right now? It's hard to argue with that. But, you know, we certainly think there's some upside in the group, and hopefully we see that.
And moving forward, you are optimistic in what regard? I guess you'd have to feel good about the way the starting pitching is trending pretty good right now with a chance to be very good if Jack Flaherty figures it out?
Well, you don't have to guess. You know, our responsibility is to try to figure out how to win games, and that's what we'll continue to work on. And, you know, we deal with human beings, and sometimes the expectations of how they perform is not what you might have predicted. But we're certainly going to keep grinding at it and keep trying.
Good stuff. John, we greatly appreciate your time here here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
All right. John Mozeliak, Cardinal General Manager and President, joining us on the Press Box. So, I thought he was...
Sounds like they're going after a starter. My read was, if they were planning on inserting Carlos into the rotation in the second half, and since that is no longer in their plans, and he would never admit it, because just it makes no sense for him to. He's not going to tip his hand on the radio to us, to other GMs. That'd be stupid.
He's not going to let the Giants know they're going to offer
right,
a package
exactly.
to Madison Bumgarner.
But trying to read between the lines, if that was the plan, if they felt like they needed to supplement the rotation, and now, unfortunately, due to injury, the in-house solution is no longer available, then you got to go outside of your own house and go window shopping. So that's my read, at least, assuming that this week isn't a complete disaster and they go like 1-5.
And Frank, you're a true pro. I really am glad you asked the Tommy Pham thing. That was the only thing. I actually like how candid he was in some of those answers.
I
actually was very honest, which I enjoyed. But the Tommy Pham situation, even if he was slightly inconsistent than he was the year prior, which he was, but he's still so cost control and such a friendly deal that I think even with the inconsistencies with Tommy Pham, I don't think you would have traded him solely based on the inconsistencies.
Yeah,
like
you're right.
I really do think, and maybe Mozeliak, there's no point for him to say that his antics were the reason or part of the reason. I guess there's no upside for Mo to admit that, but it just seemed pretty obvious that if Tommy Pham didn't speak out openly about some of the things he didn't agree with the organization, he would still be a part of this organization.
I mean, you offered him an extension, at least a pay bump, rather. He still would have been under control, but a two-year contract with a more modest raise and what he was receiving at the time, that spring training. And then he rejected it, bets on himself, which in the long run has paid off for a little bit more money for him. And then the article comes out, I think, right around opening day, of him really being honest about how he felt he was treated within the organization. And then 3 months later, 4 months later, he's gone. The timeline suggests that it had something to do with it.
Yeah. Just think at one time, like how many center fielders you had in the freaking organization. From Tyler O'Neill to Harrison Bader to Randall Grichuk.
Yep.
And Tommy Pham. The one you want is not here.
Don't forget about Mercado, too. He played some center field and had a web gem, a spectacular catch the other day with Cleveland. Granted, maybe not a superstar, but certainly a guy you didn't need to trade at the time of the trade.
Yeah. But I will say this, too, about Mo, is that when he made the Paul Goldschmidt trade, that was the absolute right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, it was a steal even if you didn't give him the extension.
Yeah.
That was a steal.
That's just unfortunate that he hasn't hit. And you'd like him to. And I thought it was interesting. He commented, and I had the numbers up. Let me pull them up real quick. He commented on maybe Paul being too patient at the plate.
Starting
0-2 and having a lot of two-strike counts. And looking at his splits, you know, there's something to that. He's had at least two at-bats end on a 2-0 count. That's it, 0-2. He's had seven plate appearances with a 3-0 count. Six have ended in walks.
Wow.
So maybe he does need to kind of readjust and become a little bit more aggressive. He's had two 35 at-bats end on an 0-2 count. He's had, after 0-2, 85 plate appearances. So just, you know, maybe being a little bit more aggressive early in counts, maybe that's the way for him to go.
And with this roster, you almost need to be more aggressive because you're the power guy. You're the superstar, quote-unquote. With Ozuna out, you might as well start trying to swing for the fence, and you're not going to have a lot of people on base or a lot of other opportunities.
Yesterday, I was of the mind that they were going to hope that the offense would fix itself, which I wouldn't necessarily blame them if they felt that way, because Rain's mentioned it, Frank, you've mentioned it. You know, if Carpenter and Goldschmidt are hitting like Carpenter and Goldschmidt, this is likely a first-place team. His comment on no one grabbing it at right field kind of stuck out to me. Makes me wonder if, knowing that Ozuna's a free agent at the end of this year, and there haven't been really no reports of them approaching him for a contract extension, and now him being out for the next at least 3 weeks, makes me wonder if they seek a more long-term permanent solution in right field soon.
All right, let's take a short time out. When we come back, the basketball Billikens have done it again. They've gotten a real good player, and he'll be playing next season for SLU. That story next.